Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Yeah, what he said. Yeah, what that guy said. You better call now, because today is a subject that... I know, there's all kinds of stuff in the news, and FBI and Comey and Trump and Russia and FISA and FICA and this, that, and the other thing. But that's going to be there tomorrow, and that continues to unfold as well as everything else. So every once in a while, I'll just stop and talk about something else that is not kind of news-driven, but is something that, I think a majority of us probably deal with. And certainly we've dealt with it in the Noble family, and it has not been pretty, and it has not been easy. And it's been a real challenge and a real point of frustration and anger and angst and I would say, you know, holy cow, regret. And it's just been really, really difficult. And the overall effect on our nation and on our culture and on our homes and on our kids and on us as their parents is really, really, it's a big deal. And I don't know if this is like... We're all freaked out when we first get the telephone and stuff, or when we first get a desktop computer. And then after a little while, it integrates into our normal lives. And then we kind of get back to kind of some semblance of normality. But smartphones, and we could talk about smartphone problems for all of us. I have many of them myself. But particularly today, I want to focus on our kids. And now when I say kids and smartphones, 5 years ago, that would be 10 years ago, smartphones just came on the market. The iPhone just came out 10 years ago. 5 years ago, it was getting pretty common. Today, it's totally common. I've got some scary numbers there for what percentage of kids are using smartphones. The numbers are just amazing. And what's going on out there with increased rates of suicide and depression and all the other stuff. And then it's impact us on our home life and in relationships and communication and school. And focus, and everybody's got one, so how can you not have one? And some people are like, no way, you're not getting a smartphone, and other people are like, hey, this is just the world we live in, and that's the deal, and so we just got to adapt and learn how to deal with it, and you can't hide your kids from the world forever, and so teach them how to integrate and how to be smart and how to make good choices. But not every lesson needs to be learned by sticking your finger in the socket, because some sockets are just too powerful and the damage is too great. So today I want to open up the phones and ask you about your own experience with your kids, your children, smartphones, flip phones. When do you let them get a smartphone? Do you somehow restrict their access to the internet? What apps they use? How they communicate? How do you deal with it? What's happened in your life? And it might be, you know, a really disturbing or difficult story to share, but that's important. The rest of us need to hear that. Other people need to hear that as a warning, and maybe you've seen some success in your family with your kids as you've dealt with the smartphone issue, but I think it's something that we don't talk about enough. I know Kirk Cameron's got something coming out later this month. I'm going to try to get to that. It's a Fathom movie, kind of, I don't know who's putting it out there, but he's done stuff at movie theaters before. I think it's on the 27th of February and then March 1st, something like that. I'll look that up on the commercial break. But that's something I think we all need to invest in. But I wanted to open up the phones today and open up the conversation on Facebook Live and just ask you, what's been your experience? What's worked? What about your frustration? What kind of damage? If you want to share that, if you need to be anonymous, that's fine. And I'll share a certain amount of challenge and information from our own experience in the Noble family. We've had plenty of it. Some good, some bad, and lots of regrets, and it's a pain for me as well. I go to that thing all the time. It's ridiculous. But what's been your experience? Ups and downs, testimonies, heartbreak kind of things, because we all need to be working through this together, I believe, especially in the body of Christ. So I'm going to open up the phones. I'm expecting you. I'm asking you. I'm imploring you. I would go so far, because of the heaviness of this subject, to even say I'm begging you to call in and let's discuss this. Come, let us reason one to another, as it says in the Old Testament. And we definitely need to do that when it comes to this whole issue of smartphones, because people are all over the map and rules and regulations and what you do and what you don't do. But I think it's worthy of your time and worthy of mine as well. 866 888-348-7884 is the number to call in. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH to share what you've experienced in your home and your life and your kids' lives. I want to keep this focused on our kids and as parents when it comes to smartphones. 866-34-TRUTH is the number. 866-34-TRUTH. And I'm asking you, imploring you to call in and share, because we need to work through this stuff together. Let me start with this. This is from Time.com, from the magazine, which is probably mostly digital now, but I'm going to start with this, and then I'm going to get to your phone calls. 866-34-TRUTH on the issue of our kids and smartphones. Nina Langton had no right to be depressed. At least that's how she saw it. She had a great group of friends, lived in a prosperous neighborhood, and was close with her parents. Like most 16-year-olds at her Connecticut high school, Nina spent much of her free time on her smartphone. But unlike many of her classmates, she was never targeted on social media. Her word for the bullying and criticism that took place daily on sites like Snapchat. Part of what made my depression so difficult, she said, was that I didn't understand why I was feeling so sad. Later, after her attempted suicide and during her stay at a rehabilitation facility, Nina and her therapist identified body image insecurity as the foundation of her woe. Quote, I was spending a lot of time stalking models on Instagram and I worried a lot about how I looked, says Nina, who is now 17. She stays up late in her bedroom looking at social media on her phone and poor sleep, coupled with an eating disorder, gradually snowballed until suicide felt like her only option. I didn't totally want to be gone, she says. I just wanted help and didn't know how else to get it. Nina's mom, Christine Langton, had a degree in public health and works at a children's hospital. Despite her professional background, she says she was completely caught off guard by her daughter's suicide attempt. Nina was funny, athletic, smart, personable. Depression was just not on my radar, her mom said. Going on in this article, between 2010 and 2016, the number of adolescents who experienced at least one major depressive episode leapt by 60%, according to a nationwide survey conducted by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Suicide deaths among people aged 10 to 19 have also risen sharply, according to the latest data from the Centers for Disease Control. Young women are suffering most. A CDC report released earlier this year showed suicide among teen girls has reached 40-year highs. The numbers from a Pew Research Center, 24% of teens go online almost constantly. Like 92% of teens report getting online daily. 70%+ of them have a smartphone. What's the deal with smartphones in our children, my children, your family? Please call in and share what you've experienced and what you've learned. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-34-TRUTH. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. I need your help today. We're talking about our kids and their smartphones. When do you give your kid a smartphone? How old? How do you manage that? What are the ups? What are the downs? This has had massive impact on our kids and on our society. Hey, listen, it's a problem for most of us as adults, but that gets compounded down to our teenagers. And, you know, and I've seen 7 and 8 year olds walking around with a smartphone, like a $600 phone, 7 and 8 year old, 9 year old. And they go, are you kidding me? And we've made plenty of mistakes with smartphones in our family with our 4 kids. And our oldest is 22 and then 20 and then 17 next week and then 13 back in December. And you know, it's a challenge. And if you start to mount monkey with that, you're going to take it away. Holy cow. It's World War III, is it not? So I hope you'll call in and share. Maybe you just have some great advice and some things that have worked in your family. Wow. We all need to hear that. Or you just, like, you want to call in and share a warning and problems you've had and questions you have. Go ahead and call in and let's work through this together. That's what the body of Christ is here for, to care for one another, to love one another, to lead one another, to teach one another, to help one another. And oftentimes we just don't do that. We kind of live our lives of splendid isolation and we struggle because of it. 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884. Please call in with your experiences, your thoughts, your wisdom, hopefully, when it comes to our kids and smartphones. I would love to hear from you. And the rest of us, we need to talk about this. 866-34-TRUTH is the phone number. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to go to Shelly, who's calling in from... Oh, we lost Shelly. She was up there in Des Moines, Iowa. Shelly, I'm sorry I had to keep you on hold for so long, but if you're still listening, please call back. I'd love to get you on the air. And, of course, a lot of people chiming in on Facebook Live. If you want to join us there, facebook.com/C2A Radio. Catherine said it's like a drug and they won't put it down. They're poised to respond to every tweet, post, etc., which I struggle with myself. My friend TJ up in Chicago went to a parent meeting at a church, and the average age a child gets exposed to pornography these days is sixth grade. 9 years old is the average age exposed to pornography for the first time. Nine. And now the majority of that is happening with the smartphone. So you've got this thing out there. I was just finishing with this, that depression leaping by 60%. Suicide deaths among people aged 10 to 19 have also risen sharply, according to the CDC. Young women are suffering the most. Their suicide rates among teen girls are at a 40-year high. These increases are huge, possibly unprecedented, says Gene Twenge, a professor of psychology at San Diego State University. In a peer-reviewed study that will appear later this year in the journal Clinical Psychological Science, Twenge shows that after 2010, teens who spent more time on new media were more likely to report mental health issues than those who spent time on non-screen activities. Using data collected between 2010 and 2015 from more than 500,000 adolescents nationwide, Twenge's study found kids who spent 3 hours or more a day on smartphones or other electronic devices were 34% more likely to suffer at least one suicide-related outcome. 34%, including feeling hopeless or seriously considering suicide, more so than kids who used devices 2 hours a day or less. Among kids who used electronic devices 5 or more hours a day, 48% had at least one suicide-related outcome. Twenge also found that kids who use social media daily were 13% more likely to report high levels of depressive symptoms than those who use social media less often. It's possible that these depressed kids are just more likely to spend time on their devices, she says, but that doesn't answer the question of what caused this sudden upswing in teen depression and suicide. So it's out there. Shelly was kind enough to call back in. Shelly, thanks for calling back in. She's up there in Des Moines, Iowa. I appreciate you calling back. Go right ahead.
Hi. I'm just wondering what people think is the right age to get a smartphone. I have a kindergartner who has a classmate who has a phone.
How, a kindergartner?
Yeah, he's 6 years old, and he has a nicer phone than I do.
Is it a smartphone or a flip phone?
No, it's a smartphone.
See, that's
crazy. And I don't think that's appropriate because, I mean, even with the apps like YouTube Kids and everything, very inappropriate things get slipped into that app.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and that's been shown. There's been several stories out recently about this, the so-called, you know, kids YouTube channel that you can get stuff in there. They've had psycho people dressed up and put it up there like it's Barney, and then the content's all nutso. And
there's
remarkable.
Just stuff that should not be accessible to kids. I mean, my son doesn't have a smartphone, but I've even had to cut back on his tablet use because he's not showing depression. But when he doesn't get his tablet, he gets very upset.
Oh, my goodness. Yep, that's exactly right. So let me ask you this question, Shelby, since you were kind enough to call back. All right, so Bill Gates, everybody knows who Bill Gates is. Mm-hmm. He actually has a rule with his kids as to when they can get a smartphone. At what age do you think Bill Gates allows his kids to get a smartphone?
I would say like maybe 15 or 16.
Yeah, it's 14.
And see, that's about the age I got mine. So I think that's an appropriate age when they start doing like after school sports and everything. That I feel is appropriate. But like kindergartner, no.
No, yeah, that's totally insane.
I mean, who are they going to call? Grandma?
I know. It's just ridiculous. And why did they need a smartphone? Shelby, thanks so much for calling in. I appreciate it.
Thank you. You're welcome. Great day.
You too. And that's just a smartphone. Now, it's one thing that the need to call, right? Once they start driving, they need to call. But if I recall, and this is going to sound like I'm back in the 50s getting mad because the Beatles had long hair. I seem to do okay and survived myself over all those years and with not even a cell phone. And I'm still here. I'm still alive. But what do you think? What do you think? How would you answer that question? What's the right age or what was the age when you gave your kids a smartphone? I'm not talking about a cell phone. A little flip phone is one thing to be able to make a phone call and even texting. But texting can go south, as we all know. But I'm talking about smartphones specifically. How have you handled smartphones and the kids in your house underneath your authority? 866-34-TRUTH is our phone number. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7777. 7884. Seriously, I really want you to call in and share what your experience has been. And if it's blown up in your face, don't be afraid to show that. It's blown up in my face, in my wife's face, where we were just too lax on it. And there were some boomerang effects there that came back around that were really difficult to deal with and disappointing and all that kind of stuff. And we were just too loosey-goosey with it. I think, hey, it'd be all fine. You know, we've raised our kids to be smart, blah, 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 blah. They're still human beings. They still, temptation is real. The devil is real. The flesh is real. The world is real. And so it's just, there's so many train wrecks out there. This is from Pew Research Center. Please call in if you want to share on this one. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-34-TRUTH. 24% of teens go online almost constantly. Aided by the convenience and constant access provided by mobile devices, especially smartphones, 92% of teens report going online daily, including 24% who say they go online almost constantly. More than half of teens defined in this report as those ages 13 to 17 go online several times a day. 12% reported once a day. Just 6% of teens reported going online weekly. That number is almost to zero. Much of the frenzy of access is facilitated by mobile devices. Nearly three quarters of teens have or have access to a smartphone, and 30% have a basic phone, which is just embarrassing anymore, right? Facebook is the most popular and frequently used social media platform among teens. Half of teens use Instagram, and nearly as many use Snapchat. And I open with that story of the young girl. When you go on there, Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram, you're looking at the best of everything. And if your life doesn't look like that, that's depressing, especially if you're 15. Holy cow, what are we doing, guys, gals, moms, dads, with the smartphones and our kids? And believe me, I'm no expert on this. We've messed up a bunch. This is Steve Noble. We'll be back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, talking about our kids and smartphones. Want to hear from you, and let me just ask you that question in general. What age do you think it's appropriate for our teenagers to have a smartphone, and do you give them unfettered access? Do you monitor it? Do you restrict it somehow? I mean, how are you managing that in your own family, in your own life? And obviously, we have enough problems with this as adults. Talk about a time waster. Chad Harvey is a pastor here in the Raleigh area, Raleigh First Assembly, a great friend, a great church. They hosted us last night for the advanced screening of I Can Only Imagine, which was there was about 160 people there. It was so emotionally charged, and people, you know, coming face to face with issues they hadn't really dealt with in years, but the hope and the forgiveness and the gospel and the message, the overall message, especially in the second half of the movie and towards the end, just amazing as you learned the true story behind that incredible song I Can Only Imagine by Mercy Me. And it was just awesome. But Chad Harvey, I had lunch with him a week ago. He's got 2,000 people a weekend coming to church, very, very busy. And I sat down at the table to have lunch. He's like, hey, did I show you my new phone? And he pulls out a flip phone. And I'm like, so what's up with that? And he goes, bro, my productivity has skyrocketed since I got rid of that flip phone. So if you want to get a hold of me, call my secretary. But he couldn't even really, he goes, you know how I would find your name in order to text you? I'd have to go to the numbers pad, right, and go wherever S is. What is that? The number 8 or something, and hit it 3 times to get to the S. And by the time you get to the next letter, you just forget it. But his personal productivity has skyrocketed. So this is a pastor of a significantly sized church who's super busy that just forget it. He's got a flip phone now. Maybe that's what we should be doing with our kids. I'm going to go to Noah, who's calling in from Burlington, North Carolina. Noah, you're on with Steve. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I can vouch for that last call you had, which I don't know personally, but my son knows people in the kindergarten classes that have cell phones. At least that's what he told me. As far as my child, I try to get my oldest boy. I've got 4 kids. Two oldest are boys, and one's 10, one's just turned 14, and he didn't even want a cell phone, which is a little different. He wanted... He doesn't really care for him, but I was trying to talk him into one of those watches. I thought it'd be like a Dick Tracy type watch. You can actually call and make calls. It's a little bit safer. And but my youngest one's got an Xbox, and you can connect to the internet with that. I didn't realize that.
Oh yeah.
So all these little devices, not just phones.
If your 10-year-old Noah asks for, hey Dad, can I get a smartphone? How would you handle that?
Well, he asked about it, and I said, when you can pay for it, because I'm not I told him about the phone, maybe on the watch, but I'm not doing that anytime soon. But yeah, all his buddies have them. I think it would be a grave mistake for children to have that kind of access at their fingertips. Like you said, maybe like you said, the flip. The smartphones, it's just basically putting a computer in front of them with it, all types of, they're telling what.
Right. That's exactly right. Noah, thanks so much for calling in and sharing that today. I appreciate it. If you want to share what you've done in your family, what have you experienced? What are the ups and downs of your kids and smartphone? At what age would you choose to give it to them? How do you monitor that? How do you manage it? Do you take it away during the school day? We homeschool, and it can be a major distraction. And then if we start to try to, okay, we're going to take it away for several hours to help free up some time for homeschool, that's not popular. And there's all this consternation, and we go down this road, and then we try to back up. That's super difficult. Let's go to Kershawn, who's calling in from Rural Hall, North Carolina. Thanks for calling in. You're on with Steve. Go right ahead.
Hello. Have you ever heard of app called Covenant Eyes?
Yes. I use Covenant Eyes. My wife gets the report of my computer and my phone.
Yes. Because, you know, the thing is I think that, you know, when it comes to children and the smartphones, is when they're at the age to understand the reasons why, you know, there is a lot of dangers out there. It seems like around every corner, even on the commercials on, you know, like I go on YouTube and some of the commercials are just, they have filth on there.
Yep.
But the thing is guiding the children, you know, without just saying, no, you can't have it, I think it's important to explain the reasons why and the dangers. So if you see this or you see that, let me know and go from there and just, you know, abstain. Because, you know, as you know, playing with fire, you can get burned. And, you know, the smartphone is a very handy tool in this day and age, but it can be misused. And I think that the devil, more and more in this day and age, is using that as a tool for his kingdom.
Well, there's no question about that. That's a great point, and that's something we need to remember. Thanks so much for calling in and sharing that today. If you want to chime in on this topic, our kids and their smartphones, at what age, how do you handle it? What's it done to your life? I mean, when's the last, you see this all the time. 866-34-TRUTH is the phone number, by the way, 866-34-TRUTH. Go to a restaurant, go anywhere. I've seen couples in their 50s and 60s. I saw a 70-year-old couple recently. They're sitting at the table. And what are they doing? Of course, looking at their phones, not talking to each other. And I do that to my wife, Gina. She's talking to me and I'm doing something on my phone. What? Monitoring some reaction on Facebook? I mean, what is my problem? Why do we do that? Are we so starved for attention? Like, I got to know what's happening all the time. And then our increase in anxiety and all the other garbage. No kidding. No kidding, that's happening. Brooke on, who's my friend at Civitas here in North Carolina, brilliant millennial, Christian homeschooling military mom. How about that for a lineup? We disabled internet on the phone and don't allow it to be taken out of common rooms in the house. No bedrooms or bathrooms. Yep, that's some great advice. I would echo that. Been there, done that, dealt with that in our family. And cell phone, a smartphone in a room? Nope. Hey, listen, I say this all the time, and this will sound ugly. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord. I don't care how many passages of scripture you have memorized. You're still a human being. You're still fallen. You still have a propensity to evil. You still struggle with things. Temptation is still out there. And you go, well, you know, my kid's doing really well. Let me just tell you from personal experience, that's kind of naive. And in my case, it was prideful. And you just can't. I don't remember who told me this years ago. Always be suspicious of yourself. Always be suspicious of your motivations. Why did I do this? Why did I do that? Why did I say this? Why didn't I say that? Always be suspicious of yourself. And to think we can trust a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old or a 16-year-old or a 17-year-old who sings in the youth group at night on their own in their bedroom when they're getting inundated with all this stuff. And it might not be pornography, but it might just be the highlight reel of their friends' lives, which is like bogus and fake for the most part, and just driving them into depression. The lady I opened the show with and her daughter tried to commit suicide, body image problems, which started sitting around looking at Instagram and models and all these other friends of hers that looked awesome. And do any of us actually put up a picture that we haven't edited or that we haven't put a filter on to make it look better, to make us look better? Holy cow. I mean, yes, not everything. I don't see a demon under every rock. But this has been a major, major problem for a lot of people. Peggy on Facebook, easy for me to say age 16 since I'm past that, although my grandkids have loving and involved Christian parents, but there's a lot of bad stuff out there. Absolutely. Greg said, this is always great advice, no phones at the table. We make that mistake too. Here was an interesting article in the New York Times. Are teenagers replacing drugs with smartphones? This is from March last year. Amid an opioid epidemic, the rise of deadly synthetic drugs, and the widening legalization of marijuana, a curious bright spot has emerged in the youth drug culture. American teenagers are growing less likely to try or regularly use drugs, including alcohol. With minor fits and starts, the trend has been building for a decade, with no clear understanding as to why. A decade. 10 years ago. What happened 10 years ago? Oh, that's right. The smartphone. Some experts theorize that falling cigarette smoking rates are cutting into a key gateway to drugs, or that anti-drug education campaigns, long a largely failed enterprise, have finally taken hold. But researchers are starting to ponder an intriguing question. Are teenagers using drugs less in part because they are constantly stimulated and entertained by their computers and phones? The possibility is worth exploring, they say, because use of smartphones and tablets has exploded over the same period that drug use has declined. This correlation does not mean that one phenomenon is causing the other, but scientists say interactive media appears to play to similar impulses as drug experimentation, including sensation-seeking and the desire for independence, which takes you into a lot of the science around this. All kinds of science. I'm trying to find an article here for a second. All the science behind what happens, especially to our youngsters, our children, our teenagers, as they're going down this road. Here's from an article I started with, a section on the teenage brain. To understand, now I'm just trying to give us information to help us along here, okay? To understand how device use may be affecting a young person's mental health, it's important to recognize the complex changes occurring in an adolescent's still developing brain. For one thing, that brain is incredibly plastic and able to adapt. That is, physically change in response to novel activities or environmental cues, says University of Pennsylvania's Jensen, who is the author of The Teenage Brain. Some more really eye-opening scientific information there if you want to call in and share how you've dealt with it in your house. I'm just ringing the bell because I think the bell needs to be rung. We need to be paying a lot more attention to the role of smartphones in our kids' lives, not to mention our own. That's why I'm bringing it up today. This is Steve Noble. It's Call to Action Radio. If you want to call in, we still have time. 866-34-TRUTH. 866-34-TRUTH. Welcome back. Talking about a very serious subject today. And I hope it's making you uncomfortable and making you rethink things, especially if you have children that are, you know, 20 and under when it comes to smartphones and our interaction there. We've dealt with it with all four of our kids. It's a really challenging subject. It's very difficult to deal with. And these things and going into mental health and emotional problems and suicide and depression, all that stuff. This is a very real problem, not to mention our communication skills and our distraction and what that does to the brain. I'll talk about that here in a second. I got some great articles, great information that I'm just putting on the table to hopefully rattle all of our cages to get more serious about this whole role of smartphones and not only our lives, but especially in our kids' lives. So one thing outside of that, talking about health, our friends at MediShare, they've been a great partner here on the show. And it's really amazing since 1993, over $1 billion that Christians around the country have shared of each other's major medical expenses. You have to manage your kind of regular medical, well care, all that kind of stuff. But it's saved us literally thousands and thousands of dollars a year. We've been with MediShare almost 6 years now. It's been a huge blessing for our family. It's a totally different way of coming at health insurance and dealing with your healthcare needs. But it's a great way. It's a Book of Acts way. It's a not-for-profit ministry way. And now you've got over 300,000 Christians nationwide sharing each other's major medical expenses. So MediShare, I hope you'll check it out for yourself and your family. It's been a huge blessing for us. 855-BIBLE-11 is their phone number, also now available in Montana, 855-BIBLE-11. Speaking of states out west, I just want to remind everybody and say a special hello to our cold friends up there listening on the bridge, 91.9 FM up in Minnesota, International Falls, Fort Francis area. We just went on with them. Special thanks to Tim Nelson there. And we just signed an agreement. We're going on the biggest Christian station in Hawaii. Aloha. That's pretty cool. And we're talking to a really big Christian station. Guess where? In the heart of the one city in America where you think there probably wouldn't be, you know, many Christian stations at all, and you might be tempted to even write it off. No, you might have guessed New Orleans, although I would be happy to go there. San Francisco. So we're talking to them. We'll see what happens there. And I'm going to cut some ads, some spots here that I'm going to start playing during the show because we need more people to kind of come along and join us as monthly supporters that we call Sacred Cow Killers. And so that we can get onto more stations, have these conversations with more Christians, trying to do Christian radio in a way that you don't hear very often, which is, number one, entertaining and likable and honest and all over the map and not preoccupied with politics. Politics is important, but the gospel is preeminent. And so I was the, you know, crazed culture warrior for several years and blinded by that, self-righteous to the core. And that, you know, self-righteousness is addictive, and the culture war kind of feeds that. So can you deal with the news of the day and still be gospel-centric? Absolutely. Can you deal with politics and still be gospel-centric and not hate everybody on the side of the aisle? Yes, you can. You can be full of both grace and truth, and that's what God did in my life, and that's what I try to bring to the show here. And then we're all over the map with what we talk about because our Christianity should be overlaid on every nook and cranny of life. And so I just don't hear much good. This is going to sound like I'm ringing my own bell, but I just don't hear a lot of good, engaging, entertaining, fun at times, at appropriate times, and self-effacing Christian radio, you know, talk radio. A lot of it is just kind of the same old, preoccupied with politics, against the godless culture. And that's just not, you know, who did Jesus hammer? He hammered the religious big mouths of the day. Now, he didn't spend a whole lot of time with unrepentant sinners. But he hammered the religious big mouths of the day. But he was winsome. And you can do that. It's possible. So God is giving us a lot of opportunities now. We've been praying about that and working on that for the last year. But we need more people to come along and help us enable that. Kind of like people holding up Moses' arms. And no, I'm not comparing myself to Moses. That's just kind of the situation that we need to do this together. So you'll start hearing more about that and would love for you to come alongside and help out. Let's see. I wanted to go back to this. This is kind of the teenage brain, right? We're talking about that. Some research has already linked media multitasking, texting, using social media, and rapidly switching among smartphone-based apps with lower gray matter volume in the brain's anterior cingulate cortex, the ACC, a region involved in emotion processing and decision-making. Think we need to be good with that? More research has associated lower ACC volumes with depression and addiction disorders. Thus, this, they haven't fully vetted this yet, but this apparent link between smartphone use, depression, and suicide. Even if smartphones, from this article, which was on Time, even if smartphones aren't the root cause of teens' anxiety or other issues, Jensen adds, the professor here, they may turn out to be an accelerant, the gasoline that turns a flicker of adolescent angst into a blaze. Another area of the brain, the prefrontal cortex, is critical for focus and interpreting human emotion and doesn't fully develop until a person's mid-20s, says Paul Atchley, a professor of psychology at the University of Kansas. During our teenage years, he says, it's important to train that prefrontal cortex not to be easily distracted. Oops. What we're seeing in our work is that young people are constantly distracted and are less sensitive to the emotions of others, which would then add to depression, suicide, and other stuff, because they just don't care. I see the rise in depression, especially among girls, and I understand why people are making these connections with new technologies, says Candace Odgers, a professor of psychology and neuroscience at Duke University. But so far, we have very little data to suggest mobile technologies are causing anxiety or social impairments. That's because they haven't really started studying it yet. So they just, over and over and over again, it's looking like smartphones are 10 years old. The last 10 years, we've had a massive increase in depression and suicide rates amongst teens. There's no way this isn't related. There's just no way. So that's why I'm talking about it today. And still have a few minutes if you want to call in and chime in with your experiences or any advice you may have for the rest of us in this deal with smartphones and our kids. 866-348-7884. Make it quick, though, because we're running out of time. 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. A friend on Facebook shared, I appreciate the honesty here, it's a battle in our house with our teen. We failed him, but are hopeful that we'll be better with his sister. And that we've been down this road too. Our older ones, we were loosey goosey with, and the middle age, and the youngest ones, we're not. We're tightening it up, but still, it's a problem. It's a challenge, especially from distraction and just decreased productivity to take care of school and stuff. We really struggle with it. It's a constant battle, really, all the time. This is from, listen to this. All this stuff's really alarming, which is why I'm doing the show on it today. There's a silent tragedy developing right now in our homes, and it concerns our most precious jewels, our children. Through my work, this is Victor Prude, and hundreds of children and families, and as an occupational therapist, I have witnessed this tragedy unfolding right in front of my eyes. Now, in this article, they talks about a lot of different things, but listen to these stats. 1 in 5 children has mental health problems. 43% increase in ADHD, 37% increase in teen depression, 200% increase in suicide rates in kids 10 to 14 years old. That's over the last 15 years. Then he says this, it's scientifically proven that the brain has the capacity to rewire itself to the environment. I mentioned that earlier. Unfortunately, with the environment and parenting styles that we are providing to our children, we are rewiring their brains in the wrong direction and contributing to their challenges in everyday life. So he says, what's wrong? Today's children are being deprived of the fundamentals of a healthy childhood, such as emotionally available parents, clearly defined limits and guidance, responsibilities, balanced nutrition, movement, and outdoors. Instead, children are being served with digitally distracted parents. Can I get an amen? Anybody raise your hands? Indulgent parents who let kids rule the world. Sense of entitlement rather than responsibility. Inadequate sleep and unbalanced nutrition. The sleep thing, smartphones, late at night. Sedentary indoor lifestyle. Endless stimulation. Technological babysitters. Instant gratification. And absence of dull moments. And all these things just compound with technology and the smartphone. Now, I found this article. This was from 2016, and this guy's probably been run out of several different towns and his church and other places. Jonathan Van Maren, this was on LifeSite News, October of 2016. The horror stories are real. Don't give your children a smartphone. And just hardcore, don't give them one. After spending 4 days at the Coalition End Sexual Exploitation Summit in Houston, Texas, my brain is very tired. I'll be writing a lot more about what I've learned, but for now, I'd like to make one simple plea to parents, something nearly every speaker and every lecturer advised. Don't give your children smartphones. It's crazy to think that a decade ago, smartphones were uncommon. Many people didn't even own a cell phone. Now, as we heard from Vanity Fair journalist and author of American Girls, Social Media and the Secret Lives of Teens, Nancy Jo Sales, nearly every social interaction and sexual interaction of teenagers is shaped by the tiny, always throbbing devices that they carry with them wherever they go. This has given rise to cyberbullying and a spate of suicides, sexting and sexual exploitation of teens by teens, and the nearly nonstop viewing and amateur production of pornography. Teenagers and children are pulled into the social webs, woven from Facebook to Instagram, from Snapchat to a half a dozen other underground cyber settings. The interactions of content curated only by the children who populate them, free of parental or adult supervision. By the way, some of the things I read earlier today talked about 30-35% of teens have accounts that they hide from their parents. You can't find them. Assume names, all kinds of stuff. There's Finsta or something like that, fake Instagram account, all kinds of stuff like that. Much of life is now lived online, and to opt out is to engage in voluntary isolation. The currency is often nude or sexually explicit pictures or selfies, and increasingly that's often non-optional too. Parents cannot control the new world of teenagers. In many cases, they cannot even penetrate it. That's why one man was so bewildered when his daughter hung herself after a teenager cruelly posted a video of her in the shower on Snapchat. And he goes on and talks about all these things, and he keeps coming back saying, don't give your children smartphones. Don't give your children smartphones. Can you live like that forever? No. At some point, that's just part of life. But boy, I don't think we're taking it seriously enough. My wife and I have struggled with it. We still do. We need to talk about this. We need to help each other. Kirk Cameron's got a thing coming out soon. I'll find that information and post it on digital media and parenting. That's coming out. It's at movie theaters. It's called Connect. Just found that. It's called Connect. I think it's on February 27th and March 1st. And it's a thing that's going on in the movie theaters. I'll check into that some more. But we need to pay more attention to the smartphones. This is Steve Noble. It's Call to Action Radio. And God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.